Sorry, Brother Jane Moser. The 30th chapter of Psalms. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should go not down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but the joy cometh in the morning. In the 31st chapter, in thee, O Lord, I do put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. At this time, there's an old man who is lying in Scottsdale Memorial Hospital, and he's married a great deal of people in his lifetime, performed many marriages. He performed a ceremony for my wife and I remember quite well his opening words. He said, 2,000 years ago, lived a man who became the center of the human race. He made some plain statements about life and living. And you know, I've often thought and remembered those words that he spoke that day to myself and to Chris and to the people who were present. And I thought that I would borrow those words, because I felt that they were very fitting this morning. 2,000 years ago, a man lived who became the center of the human race. The 3rd chapter of John, the 14th verse reads, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved." So today, as I thought this week, and as I thought to myself and my own private studies and prayers about what I would bring this day, there was something that came into my mind that stirred me deeply, and that thought was about our rock, and about our salvation, and about what we stand on in this life, and what we hold fast to in this life. I'd like to read for you a portion of the Easter story out of the 20th chapter of John, beginning with the first verse. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him." Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooped down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. yet went he not in. Then Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a piece by itself. And then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And you know, as the psalmist recorded in the 30th chapter, you know, that in the night there may be tears, but when the morning comes, there shall be joy. And this was true on this occasion that became the glorious victory of our Lord and our victory. A time that is good for us to ponder upon, to think about. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. You know, these disciples were not the only ones who knew of this resurrection. These disciples were not the only ones who felt it. They were not the only ones who proclaimed it. For he is the center point of all scripture and every prophet that ever lived, who was a prophet of God, proclaimed him. I'd like to read now out of Job, in the 19th chapter. Begins the 23rd verse, the 19th chapter. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. All of God's servants who were truly called by him proclaimed him throughout every scripture, throughout every time in history. They proclaimed that their Lord would stand upon the earth, and that he would come, and that he would die for their sins. I'd like to read from Isaiah. the 7th chapter for Isaiah, the Lord told us, spoke of him, and he spoke of his will, and that we should liken this, his saying, to everyone, to every generation. Seventh chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yes, 2,000 years ago, a man was born who became the center of a human race. Those who went before him and those who came after him. And he is our hope, and he is our rock, and he is our fortress and our salvation. I would like to read another scripture from Isaiah, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You know, here, Isaiah, he makes a statement. He says the Lord would smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And you know, if you'll think about it, I can think in my short lifetime, times when I have remembered words that my Savior has spoken, when I could remember and could read the words that he spoke, and felt that still small voice as it whispered to me that he became my rock, that he became your rock. And I'm sure that you can remember times when you felt either your limbs shake, or even if you heard an audible voice. But it always proclaimed Jesus Christ in every aspect, every voice that is heard, proclaims his will, his words, his thoughts, and the will of his Father. I'd like to read again in the 28th chapter of Isaiah, the 16th verse. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I'd like to go now. I'd like to have you consider your rock and your salvation and your fortress. Because I'm going to bring some scriptures here that I believe that you must think upon in your time of trouble, in your time of need, when you have tears upon your pillow at night. That when the morning comes forth, you might break into joy and sing in your heart. Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, this is Peter speaking, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And I'd like to skip over, if I might, to the Book of Mormon and read another Easter story of what took place on this continent, because we do believe in the Book of Mormon with all of our hearts. And we do proclaim it, and we are not ashamed of it, because we believe that it teaches the same thing, that the theme of the Book of Mormon is the same as Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin with the 5th chapter and the 11th verse. This is after he appeared and showed himself. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and he spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified, to come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world, and I have drunk out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the multitude fell on the earth. For they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that you may thrust your hand into my side, and also that you may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet. And that you may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. I'd like to read another scripture from 3 Nephi, beginning on page 651 with the 49th verse. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude. And he said unto him, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation, for Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, you shall meet together often, and you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But you shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you, you shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up. That which ye have seen me do, I am the light that ye shall hold up. But you know, these people were not the only ones in the Book of Mormon who also knew this. They were not the only ones who felt the presence of his spirit. I'd like to read now from Mosiah in the 1st chapter. Beginning with the 93rd verse, it says, For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And the things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. And he said unto me, Awake, and I awoke. And behold, he stood before me, and he said unto me, Awake, and hear the words which I shall tell thee. Behold, I am come to declare unto you glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, that thou mayest declare unto thy people, that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, who was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in the tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, the deaf to hear, and curing of all diseases. And he shall cast out devils. For the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men, and lo, ye shall suffer temptation and pain of body, hunger and thirst and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore. So great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him, and he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. I'd like to ask you, you can't preach this gospel. You can't preach this gospel without telling people what to do, It can't be done. But I'd like to ask you to consider, for a moment, as we're considering this beautiful story of our Lord, to think about your life, to think about what you stand on, to think about your rock, to think about your salvation, to think about what your goals are in life, to think about what you're going to do with yourself in life, to think about where you put your trust, what you rely upon, and to consider yourself. Are you soon unshaken? Are you soon shaken? Are you shaken by what takes place in the world? Are you soon shaken by those that you work with? Are you soon shaken by those that you talk with? Does your heart perhaps maybe get a little distressed? Are you sorrowful? Are you weary? Are you tired? It was written of Christ that he spoke himself. He said, everybody has a place to go home and rest, in my own words, said it. Everybody has a place to go home and rest. But me, I had no place to go because thousands of people followed him. And the demand upon his life was more than the human being could take. But angels ministered unto him, I'm sure, many, many, many times during his lifetime here on the earth, because of the stress of the body. And I can't help but believe that in our workaday world, that God will not send angels to minister unto his people. I cannot help but believe, because the scripture tells us to hold up our light, and our light is Jesus Christ. Those things that we have seen him do and say and heard, those things that we have read, I cannot help but believe that he will send angels to minister to you even when you're not aware of it. I can't help but believe that a person who will stand upon that rock and who will rest in his everlasting arms, I cannot help but believe that that person will always stand. I cannot but believe that a person who loves him will not stand forever with him and with his strength and with his power, and a person who relies upon him. And if you rely upon some of the foundation, sorrow and anguish. But our foundation is not so. Our foundation is not so. If we hold up our light, if we'll look to him at every moment that we have need, if we rely upon him. He said, I believe, hope that I can come to his sin, little children. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he said, in another place, he said, I believe, I have to look it up to be sure exactly, but I believe he said that be not afraid of the world, for I have overcome the world. He is our example. He is our life. He is our rock. From one page from the beginning, first page, to the very end of our scripture. He is the light, and He is our rock. He is our salvation, and the foundation of our church and of our souls. I'd like to read now in Matthew, in the 7th chapter of Matthew. Let me find the verse here. 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every man that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I'd like to read another scripture in John, in the 12th chapter, beginning with the 44th verse. This is why we can rely upon His sayings, and why we can rely upon Him as the rock. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on Him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth Him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if a man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, which I should say, and what I should speak. And now this, His commandment is life everlasting. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So I'd like to ask you, do you know what He said? Do you know the things and the words that He spoke? Are they written in your mind? Are they permanently etched in your brain and your conscience? When you run across a problem, is there a verse of Scripture of His words that comes to your mind? You know, I'd like to read another verse of Scripture. You know, I was going through a trial. I'll say a small trial. You know, we all have problems and trials that we go through from time to time, and it's unavoidable. But this Scripture came to my mind, and I cannot help but believe that it's come to your mind. I cannot help but believe that someone else has heard this by that still small voice. I'll read just the 6th verse. In a way, I suppose maybe I'm taking a little out of context, except that He's telling us how to get to heaven and how to have salvation, and He tells us how. The 5th verse of the 14th chapter says, Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. So I'd like to ask you, how are you going to stand? What are you going to think the first time or the next time you come across a trial? Or what have you already previously thought when you come across a trial, a tribulation? When you come across something in your mind, you're going to think, He is the way. He is the way. The truth. So what are we going to do? What are we going to believe? We're going to believe the words that He spoke. I am the way. I am the truth. And the life. And so,
for life. Life. He said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I am the life. So when you're wondering maybe to yourself, will this ever end, or will this trial or burden ever end? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, how are you going to be happy? What's going to make you happy? The only way to be happy, to be truly happy, to be peaceful, is through Christ, is through our Lord, is through our rock, is by resting upon His, the things that He said, the things that He revealed to His holy prophets, by resting upon His Word, by standing upon it, by relying upon it, and by using it as a guide, by using it to measure all things. Everything that comes across in your life, you must measure by the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that you have, do, say, or think must be committed into His care and His keeping. The life, happiness. So how can you be happy? How can you be peaceful unless you have, and if you look to Him? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And so you ponder in your mind what sort of trial you may have gone through. And I ask you, I know that there have been times when I have woken up in the night, I can hear this small voice. I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. You know, to me, that's something that we cannot get that out of our mind. I can't stress that enough. I cannot stress that one verse of Scripture enough. We have to build upon that. Everything. We have to build our church and our life, our responsibility, our marriage, our household, our jobs, on that. I am the way. And I'd like to go to another verse of Scripture. You know, this day means something more. It means something more to me than just that He died and that He rose. It means something more. I'll go to the Book of Mormon first, and I'll read this Scripture. It's in 2 Nephi, the 3rd chapter. And this is Nephi talking. Nephi was a man who was acquainted with sorrow and acquainted with grief, acquainted with all the problems that man can encounter. He was a man of great emotions, and he was a man who did not fear much of anything, as his life exhibited, and as we have a record of the things that he did. Yet he wrote down here, beginning with about the 29th verse of the 3rd chapter. I'd like to read you about 20 verses here. But I'd like to have you listen closely to the way he thought, and this is what this day means to me. This is what... It's not that I celebrate it more than another day, but it's just that I like to think about Easter. I like to think about the resurrection and what this day means to me. He doesn't mention the resurrection, but when I think about the way and the truth and the life, this is what it does for me. For my soul delighteth in the Scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning of the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Nevertheless, the great goodness of God in showing me his great and marvelous works. My heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am. Yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of mine iniquities. I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night time. And by day have I waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, in my voice have I sent up on high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains. And mine eyes have beheld great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was bidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine enemies, because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, the rock of my salvation. And now I'd like to read one final scripture. And I had to ponder, you know, upon reading the scripture. When I began to think about these things, my soul was almost overcome with the thought of this. You can believe what I'm going to say, and you can reject it. That's okay. But I know what I felt, and I know what I feel. I believe that we emphasize something in the wrong way. That at the church, we emphasize something in the wrong way. And maybe you say, who are you? Who in the world are you to tell me what we do or what we've emphasized in the wrong way? But now you ponder the scriptures that I have read, and you go home and you study those things out, and you study yourself to find out yourself and pray yourself. I'd like to read the 16th chapter of Matthew, the 13th verse. And I'd like to have you pay close attention to the question that Christ posed his disciples. The question that he asked his disciples. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say that I am? I'd like to ask you, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Who is he? Is he not the way and the truth and the life and the rock? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now you tell me, isn't that what all of his holy prophets have testified? Every one of his prophets testified that he was the Christ, that he was coming. Isn't that the revelation that he gave them? The revelation? Thou art the Christ. Isn't that the revelation that he gives to each one of us? Isn't that how he builds and has built his kingdom from the foundation of the world? By revealing himself to the world. Emphasize. Where would you put the emphasis on that scripture? I'm not going to read the rest of it. but you can read the rest of it, and then possibly you'll be able to see what I'm saying. But where do you put the emphasis upon the revelation that Peter had? And with that, I'd like to leave that in your, with your thoughts upon my rock and my fortress, upon the stone that the builders rejected, upon the stone that became the chief of the corner, upon the foundation of apostles and prophets whom Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. May God bless you.
Thank you, Jim. We'll use number 56 for our closing song. Let's stand. Administered to this day, thy healing spirit would be pressed upon her. We pray for the work of the gospel and that we might always be found doing thy will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.